west wind gusty in the morning, easing to 15 miles per hour during the afternoon.
FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. To our sponsors, Skyline Health and Delta Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. It is 8:05. I'm Mark Bailey. Cameron Eisenberg is producing. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday. Cameron just told me he was a lottery winner last night. $8, which is more than most people who bought a ticket for Powerball 1, by the way. So, you're on the plus side. That's a good thing. Yeah, don't spend it all in one box. You might as well spend it all in one place. That's about how far as it's going to go, but there you go. Didn't though win the big one. Nobody did. $1 billion on Saturday for that drawing. That would be a good Christmas gift, by the way. I think I've said this before. I can handle the tax implications. I'll deal with that. That's fine. We got a wire story that came through here. We said, well, you don't really win it because of this, you know, all the taxes you've reduced. And you go, okay, fine. It gets chopped down. You know, I would take the lump sum, so I take about 500 mil if I was doing it. I don't trust the government to owe me money, okay? I'm going to just take the 500 million off the top. And so, okay, so it gets whittled down to 230, 240 million. Fine. I think I can make it the rest of the way on that. If I can't, of course, there are all sorts of stories about people who win the lottery and it doesn't improve their lives. You know, money can't buy you happiness. You know, it can assist in getting you happy. I've got to say, I'm not sure I completely buy that old saying. Anyway, good morning to you all. Here's what we're doing this morning. First part of the program, Janet Woods is going to join us from the Walton Music Trust, one of the trustees, Riverside Community Church in Hood River. They are in the midst of their Advent Music Concert Series they do every December for the holidays. They've got a couple more to go, including one tomorrow. We'll talk to Janet about that series. Providence Hood River's new chief administrator, Rebecca Copeland, is going to join us in the studio here in a few minutes, and we'll talk about what brought her to Hood River, and we'll talk about, you know, some of the challenges that hospitals and communities of this size face. They're big. There are a lot of challenges out there. So we'll talk to Rebecca here in a bit. But first, as we always do, let's tell you what this day has meant. And what it means, at least to some people, this day in 1936, Britain's King Edward VIII abdicated the throne so he could marry American divorcee Wallace Warfield Simpson. His brother, Prince Albert, became King George VI. 1946, the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, UNICEF, was established. 1978, nearly $6 million in cash and jewelry were stolen from the Lufthansa cargo terminal at New York's John F. Kennedy Airport. The Lufthansa heist, the largest cash robbery in history at the time, was immortalized in the film Goodfellas. 1980, President Jimmy Carter signed legislation creating a $1.6 billion environmental superfund to pay for cleaning up hazardous chemical spills and toxic waste dumps. 1997, more than 150 countries agreed at a global warming conference in Kyoto, Japan, to control the Earth's greenhouse gases. 1998, majority Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee pushed through three articles of impeachment against President Bill Clinton over Democratic objections. 2008, former NASDAQ chair Bernie Madoff was arrested, accused of running a multi-billion dollar Ponzi scheme that wiped out the life savings of thousands of people and wrecked charities. Madoff died in April 2021 while serving a 150-year federal prison sentence. I don't think a lot of people felt bad about that, by the way. I mean, this guy really hurt a lot of people. He really did. 2020, the Supreme Court rejected a lawsuit backed by President Trump to overturn Joe Biden's election victory, ending an attempt to get legal issues that were rejected by state and federal judges before the nation's highest court. Days for today. Don't have a lot of them again today, but it is International Mountain Day today. The UN put that together years ago to recognize the importance of mountains in our ecosystem. It is Holiday Food Drive for Needy Animals Day today. And if you are of the mind to donate some food, Our animal shelters in our area certainly will be happy to take that, because they can always use the help. It is National App Day today, as in, yes, the apps on your mobile phone. I did something stupid, by the way, before I came on the air here this morning. I needed to turn down my headphones a little bit. Instead of turning down the amplifier for the headphones, which would be the obvious place to go, for some reason, this shows the power these devices have on our lives. I started turning down my iPhone volume, which is, of course, going to have no impact whatsoever. And what bothers me even more, it took me a few seconds to figure that out. The aging process is not easy at times. Add in technology, and it's sometimes darn frightening. It's also National Stretching Day, by the way, today. So if you're going to do anything strenuous, be sure to properly stretch first. Our food days today, it's National Noodle Ring Day, and we've been over this before. Apparently, you put noodles and some kind of a flour and milk mixture into a bundt pan, and you cook it up, and then you serve it. And sometimes you put, like, I guess, cream tuna or cream vegetables in the hole of the bundt cake pan and serve it like that. I like noodles. I can think of a whole lot better ways to have them, though, than that. Also, it's National Have a Bagel Day today. So have a bagel. It's always a good start to the day. It can be plain. You can put cream cheese on it. You can do whatever. We have some places you're going to make some pretty good bagels, too, around the area. So there it is, for what it's worth. Probably not a whole lot. 8:11 in the morning. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Riverside Community Church Advent Music Series right after this.
Got a drip that just won't quit? Or a shower that turns cold right when you need it hot? When plumbing goes sideways in the Columbia Gorge, Chinook Plumbing is the family-owned team that's been setting it right since 1989. At Chinook Plumbing, we treat every plumbing problem like it's happening in our own home. From clogged drains to water heaters, gas lines, remodels, sewer and water line replacements, and those unexpected emergencies. We've got you covered. Give us a call or visit us at ChinookPlumbingHoodRiver.com. CCB number 240452.
Hello, this is Dr. Stanley of Cascade Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. If your hands ache, buzz, feel numb, or wake you up at night, you might have carpal tunnel syndrome. If these symptoms persist longer than 8 weeks, you may start causing permanent damage. Protect your active lifestyle and come in and have it evaluated. Visit COSMC.org or call 541-296-2294. Cascade Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, conveniently located in the Dalles and Hood River, where our goal is getting you back to being you.
I am Amy Knowles. I grew up here in White Salmon. I call this my home. I am the pharmacy director here at Skyline Health. Skyline Hospital is more than just a hospital. It's a lifeline for our community. Our patients are my neighbors, my friends, the people I grew up with. At the end of the day, it's about caring for the people who trust us with their health. I'm proud to be part of a team who takes caring for our community so seriously and a priority for everything we do here every day. I am Skyline.
It's time for the excitement of Hood River Valley Eagles basketball. Stay with 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and online at GorgeRadio.com for Eagles basketball all season long. The Eagles on KIHR are brought to you by Providence Hood River, Columbia Bank, Beam Excavating and A1 Septic Service, and Schlosser Machine Shop.
The Eagle Boys host Mountain View Tuesday at 5:30 on KIHR.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And it is now 8:13 in the morning. We're happy to have with us now one of the trustees of the Walton Music Trust, Janet Woods, joins us. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Mark. Nice to be with you.
Well, nice to have you on the show. And you're in the midst right now of... The Advent Concerts at Riverside Community Church, and this is a long-time Hood River tradition. In fact, I think just a while back, you passed 50 years, didn't you?
Yes, we did. We're calling this the 52nd year.
52nd year for the series. Oh. So kind of give us the genesis of this. How did this all get started?
Well, I think it was in the early to mid-70s when Arlen Fick was pastor at Riverside, and I don't know if many would remember him or not, but he came up with the idea of giving a gift to the community, and they were called the Brown Bag Concerts. And people were invited to come and bring their lunch and listen to the music of the season. And I don't know if it was so varied back then. It was mostly probably the organ and maybe piano. And I'm not just sure when the high school started being a part of the series, but it started with Mark Steigner was the choir director, and then Dan Keneally, and now Peyton Swartout. And so this Friday we will have the high school chamber choir and the jazz ensemble.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things with this series has been over the years is that it's been a showcase for some of our local musical talent.
Yes.
Over the years, how do you pick? I mean, obviously, Hooter Valley High School, it's kind of a tradition. But how do you find the artists that perform?
It's just kind of a word of mouth and thinking about it. it's just I guess it's random.
Well, there you go. I've done a lot of that, so yeah.
Yeah, and you know, people's suggestions and. Since we've had the pipe organ refurbished, now the Roger Schock Community Organ, we try to have at least one organist now, since we are in fine shape for that instrument. Mm-hmm. And it's a lovely instrument, and not many around in the area anymore. So.
One of the, of course, appeals of this event, one of the nice things about it is this is free for folks to go to during these Friday afternoons that they are held. This is completely
yes.
free to the public, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And and this gets to the Walton Music Trust. Tell us about that.
Well, its inception was in 1986 when Maury and Betty Walton gifted Riverside with a bequest, and Ned and Margaret Marshall were the original trustees. And in 2008, they handed it off to us as longtime members of Riverside and lovers of music and of all sorts. And so we hope to continue that tradition. Mm-hmm. For years to come.
and you do this, you know, where you're able to do the concert is at the Riverside Church Sanctuary on State Street. For those who may not be familiar, it's next to the Hood River County Courthouse. And one of the
yes.
nice things about your location is it's rather a nice, beautiful location to listen to this music.
Yes, yes. We have a lovely sanctuary. We do have handicap access on the Sherman Street entrance. And invite people that might need a help getting in instead of the stairs to use the back entrance.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned, of course, this Friday at 12 noon, it's going to be Hood River Valley High School, the Chamber Choir, the Jazz Ensemble. They'll be performing. And then you have one more concert next Friday at noon, December 19th. And this is a group that I think you've had every year now for a little while.
Yeah, this is kind of a tradition. So really, whether there's three concerts or four concerts in December, depending on the Fridays and how they fall, Tim has gotten to be a tradition, and he's very thoughtful in his presentation, and it's just everyone just really enjoys listening to Tim and his group.
Yeah, this is Tim Mayer and Friends, which they are known as it's kind of a jazz ensemble.
Yeah.
I would imagine that they alter a little bit here for the holiday season
and
probably playing a lot of Christmas favorites.
A little bit, but Tim's very good at improvising those little jazz sections, and it's just wonderful music.
Mm. Yeah, I understand.
And I'd also like to say that we are live streaming on YouTube. For this series, and the first concert is available at Riverside UCC.
Oh, now, who was the first concert?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. I would really have to dig out the scrapbook and see. I'm sure it's in there.
Yeah, I mean, the first concert as in December 5th. I blast Friday. I hope I didn't sound like I meant, what was the first concert back in 1972? Or
okay, no, my brain went to the wrong place. That's what you have trouble with old people. So the first concert was Diana Betterbide, and she played the piano, and Scott Marquardt, an organist from the Lutheran Church in Gresham. Mm-hmm. And he started out with a rousing rendition of Chip Davis's Joy to the World, Mannheim steamroller style, and it was an excellent concert. And also Aaron Young, a cellist, he and Diana played some duets. And the women's ensemble from Riverside Church also did schools.
So again, that concert from last Friday is available on YouTube and through.
Yes, it is.
So Riverside UCC, I take it, is the page for people to go to. And you can check out the concert. And again, it sounds like you're going to live stream tomorrow at noon and next Friday at noon. Of course, people are welcome to go to the concert. It is free to attend. I do, though, know that you take donations, and actually we probably should mention this because people are enjoying it online. They have an opportunity to help make sure that you continue to do this over the years.
Yes. Donations are welcome, but not necessary.
Okay. So if someone would like to donate, and especially the folks who are watching online, so they're not just there to give a donation, how can they do that?
They can go to the UCC website, and there is a link to donate online.
All right. So go to the Riverside UCC website. Probably in your search engines, type Riverside UCC Hood River, and you'll get there. And you can help.
It's riversideucc.org.
Okay. All right. Okay, it's an easy one. All right. Not a lot of dashes and slashes in there. Riversideucc.org, and you can help keep this concert series going again tomorrow at noon. It will be the Hunter Valley High School Chamber Choir and Jazz Ensemble. And next Friday at noon, it will be Tim Mayer and Friends performing at Riverside. And again, that's on State Street right next to the River County Courthouse. Janet, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mark, for having me this morning.
And Janet Woods, trustee for the Walton Music Trust with her husband, Leonard. It is now 8:22 in the morning. Mid-Columbia Today will continue along. We'll check out the news right after this.
Your ambition just met its match with Robinhood. Trade stocks and ETFs, options, futures, and crypto all on one platform. Get started today at Robinhood.com/yourmoney. Your money, your move. All investments involve risk, including loss of principal. Options, futures, and crypto trading carry significant risk and may not suit all investors. Securities offered through Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC. Futures trading is offered by Robinhood Derivatives LLC, not FDIC or SIPC protected. Crypto offered through Robinhood Crypto LLC, NMLS ID 1702840, not FDIC or SIPC protected. Portfolio management offered by Robinhood Strategies, an SEC registered advisor.
Hey, I'm Steffi. You may know me from your social feed. I go big for the holidays, so I'm going to Famous Footwear because the best gifts are giving famous. My friends and family are going to love all these styles from Nike, Adidas, Crocs, New Balance, Skechers, and more. With over 800 stores, you're never far from the perfect gift. So make your list and make it famous. Come in today for buy one pair, get one half off at your local Famous Footwear or famous.com. Some exclusions apply.
You've created a cozy home retreat. Now let Carrier provide the quiet, efficient heating you can depend on all winter with a range of innovative solutions that deliver premium comfort and warmth. Call Oregon Equipment for comfort you can count on. Proudly living local, buying local, and supporting local since 1946. Oregon Equipment wishes you a wonderful warm holiday season. Visit OregonEquipment.com. Carrier, for the world we share.
At the Springs at Mill Creek Assisted Living Community, we believe in living with purpose and enjoying life to its fullest. Nestled at 1201 West 10th Street, The Dalles, our community offers more than just a place to stay. Imagine dining on your schedule from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., choosing your meals from a full menu that suits your taste and lifestyle. Here, every day is an opportunity to thrive, connect, and embrace the joys of life. Discover a vibrant community where you decide how to spend your day. Visit the Springs at Mill Creek because your best life is waiting.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
A24 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. I will mention that if you are a member of the Hood River Rotary Club, I'm going to be there today. You will have your chance, apparently, to grill me. Apparently, it's a fireside chat, I'm being told. Apparently, that's how they put it on their website. A fireside chat with me. I feel very Franklin Delano Roosevelt-like now. FDR was the president who inaugurated the fireside chat on radio. Back in the probably late 30s is my guess, is when he started doing that. It was during the Depression, and as you're heading to World War II, etc. And you know, they called it a fireside chat. And apparently I'm doing this. I'm going to get interviewed, I guess. Which, see, the tables are being turned on me a little bit. I don't know what they're going to ask. I have no idea. They can ask whatever they like. Whatever they would like to ask, I will attempt to answer. But going to do that today. It'll be interesting. Looking forward to it. Interesting experience, certainly. I don't do a lot of, you know, I guess you would say I do a lot of public speaking, but I talk on the radio every day on the weekday mornings for however long it's been. I don't care to count right now. But it is different when you are speaking with a live audience. It is so different. I think it was Jerry Seinfeld who had the line, a public speaking was like the number one fear of people. Number two was death. Death came in second, and then he had the brilliant punchline. That means if you're at a funeral, you'd rather be in the box than doing the eulogy. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, by the way. The hardest thing I found to do when I've done public speaking before, and I haven't actually done any in a little while, but the hardest thing I've found is when you do it in front of a group of students, high schoolers. I did a group of high schoolers a number of years ago. I was asked to go and talk about, I think it was just, you know, our business, et cetera. And you know high school kids. You'll have some who are very attentive, and they're terrific. But you can also see out there the kids, and they're the ones that grab your eye. It's not the kids that are really interested, which is too bad. It's the ones that it's just the blank stares, or just where you're just going, is what I'm saying meaning anything at all to them, or is it just blah, 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 blah? And you almost rather see the fires of hell coming out of their eyes rather than just the blank stare. But I've always found that's been a fascinating experience when I've done it over the years. So today, Hood River Rotary Club, if you're a member there, I'm apparently your lunchtime entertainment. And then the Lions Club, the Hood River Lions Club in January, by the way. They've invited me there, so I don't know. Apparently, I'm getting to that age where people think it's time for me to wrap it up, do a wrap up of my career, and then head on out the door. We're not quite there yet, but I will say the end is closer than the beginning, which I've hinted at on this show a few times. But it's not imminent, lest people start going, Mark just said he's about to step away. No, I didn't say that. Not yet. By the way, nice fire truck parade last night came through the neighborhood where I live, the area fire trucks. Cascade Locks will be there tonight, by the way. 6 o'clock is where we'll start from the Cascade Locks fire station. Anyway, let's check the news out. The first Oregon unemployment rate to be issued since the federal government stopped the flow of jobs data shows unemployment continues to drift upward. The September 2025 unemployment rate released by the Oregon Employment Department on Wednesday was at 5.2%, up by a full percentage point from the same month a year ago. Oregon's unemployment rate was 5% in August, U.S. unemployment rate 4.3% in August, 4.4% in September. The statewide unemployment rate and employment survey data for October and November will be released on the 7th of January. Oregon has reported more cases of whooping cough this year than at any time in state history, and health officials say falling vaccination rates, especially among pregnant people, are adding to the danger for infants. As of Tuesday, the Oregon Health Authority had logged 1,475 cases of pertussis, commonly known as whooping cough. That surpasses the previous annual record of 1,420 cases set in 1950. The rise in Oregon and elsewhere is being fueled in part by declining vaccination rates, especially among pregnant people in rural areas. Since babies can't be vaccinated until they reach 2 months, protection in the first months of life comes from antibodies inherited in the womb. To help protect babies, medical groups like the American Academy of Pediatrics recommend that pregnant people get the whooping cough vaccine known as Tdap, which also prevents tetanus and diphtheria between weeks 27 and 36. Residents began packing up and fleeing rising rivers in western Washington on Wednesday as a new wave of heavy rain swept into a region still reeling from a storm that triggered rescues and road closures a day earlier. Through the Northwest, as you well know, an atmospheric river swelling rivers toward record levels. Major flooding expected in some areas, including the Skagit River north of Seattle. In the town of Mount Vernon, officials ordered residents within the floodplain to evacuate. Washington Governor Bob Ferguson declared a statewide emergency. Gent Welsh, Adjutant General of the Washington National Guard, has said hundreds of Guard members will be sent to help communities. Washington Gorge Action Program says nearly 75% of children in the state of Washington under the age of 5 are cared for by parents, family, friends, and neighbors who may be eligible to apply for subsidies. The Family, Friends, and Neighbor Care Program helps parents and providers qualify for subsidies under Washington's Working Connections Child Care Program. The FFN provider wanting to obtain subsidies has to be registered with the state, and health and safety requirements must be met. Clickitat County Child Care Committee liaisons are available to help FFN providers. Connect with the Department of Children, Youth, and Families to begin the application process, or an FFN provider can call 1-844-626-8687 directly to reach the customer service center. Our temperature, Stevenson 52, Hood River 53, the Dalles 55. It is 8:31, and more Mid-Columbia Today for you right after this.
Christmas savings continue with Cascade Farm and Outdoors' latest mailer. Pick up a copy in-store today. Save $40 on Leatherman Signal Multi-Tool. Now just $99.99. Purina Laina Pellets or Crumbles are $13.99. All holiday pet items are 30% off. And all regular price Montana Silversmith's Jewelry, $15 off. Christmas savings are happening now at Cascade Farm and Outdoor. Northwest, homegrown, honest values.
Voted best in the Gorge, A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air keeps your home comfortable year-round. Hi, I'm Kimberly, and whether it's heating, cooling, or plumbing, our expert team is here when you need us most. From repairs and installations to our exclusive monitoring and plumbing memberships, we help prevent problems before they start. Our customers trust us for fast service, honest advice, and quality work every time. Experience why we've earned your votes in Best of the Gorge. Check out our article in the Best of the Gorge magazine. Call A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air today. CCB number 203004. Your comfort starts here.
At J.D. Smith Jewelers, So Merry and Bright, where Christmas dreams shimmer in soft candlelight. For the special someone whose heart you hold dear, find the jewel that whispers, I'm so glad you're near. Diamonds like snowflakes, so uniquely divine, glisten and twinkle so fine. From necklaces to bracelets with diamonds that gleam, each piece is a wish like a star in a dream. And oh, the rings in their circular story, symbolizing love in all its glory. Make a holiday shimmer, make it truly divine, with treasures that sparkle from J.D. Smith's line.
Ho, ho, ho!
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
This forecast is brought to you by SheFire. We're your local fire protection company. Call to get your fire extinguishers inspected today. 541-980-1181. SheFire, 980-1181.
Showers today with the winds diminishing, highs in the upper 50s. The west wind gusty in the morning, easing to 15 miles per hour during the afternoon.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And welcome back. It is 8:33 in the morning of Mid-Columbia today. We're happy to have with us from Providence Hood River, their new chief administrator, Rebecca Copeland's with us. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for coming in. How long have you been there now? I remember writing the story, but I don't remember when I wrote it.
Yeah, just under 2 months. And okay. So I'm still very new, still a lot to learn.
Now, I think you came from Seaside, correct?
I did. I was in Seaside for 4 years in the same role in Seaside.
Okay. Why make the move from the coast to the gorge? Why would you decide
goodness.
You want to do that?
Well, I think for everyone who lives in Hood River and loves Hood River, mm-hmm. you completely know the just the beautiful draw. So it's an amazing community. What I learned in Seaside was I absolutely loved working in a smaller community, and because it really gives an opportunity to get involved and really know our patients, our caregivers, and our community members. And when the opportunity came available here in Hood River, I did not think that would come up again in my mm-hmm. career. So I was just honored to be selected.
What do you do when you first get to a new hospital like this as a chief administrator? I mean, you probably, you were at Providence Seaside, so there is that element, I think, would probably provide a little inside knowledge because you've at least have been in the system,
sure,
if you will.
Sure.
But what do you do over the first few weeks when you get into a role like
sure.
this?
Sure. Well, instead of, in addition mm-hmm. to a bit drink from a fire hose, what's most important is really to be out on a listening tour and mm-hmm. meeting as many people as I possibly can. And so that's really how I've spent the last couple of weeks, is not just meeting the leadership team, rounding through the hospital, meeting as many caregivers as I can, but also out in the community, meeting the community partners, meeting the other hospital leaders, mm-hmm. meeting partners of, I'm a part of the Health Council now, had a mm-hmm. board meeting last night.
Columbia Gorge Health Council.
Columbia Gorge Health Council, mm-hmm. meeting with city mm-hmm. leadership, met with a fish food bank. So there's a mm-hmm. lot of opportunity to continue to meet with folks.
So what got you into the chief administrator role? Because you say, I think, 4 years in Seaside
sure.
in that role. Before that, in the hospital business, what was your background? How did you end up eventually ending in the CEO type of role?
Yeah, well, my entire career has been in healthcare.
Okay.
When I was growing up, a daughter of a doctor and a daughter of a scientist, I grew up on weekends being tagged along with my parents into hospitals. And so mm-hmm. to me, being in a hospital really felt like a place of purpose. And so I knew in some way I would end up in a hospital. And so I have a master's degree in healthcare administration and actually came out to Oregon from the East Coast to do a fellowship at OHSU. An administrative fellowship that let me spend time in all the different departments in the hospital. When I joined Providence, actually about 24 years ago, I did not aspire to be a leader of a hospital. I just wanted to be contributing in some way to the healthcare field. And so I spent time in leadership roles in the business office, in strategy, and working with clinical institutes, which would be like the Heart Institute, the Cancer Institute. And that really was the last role that I was in a leadership role with the clinical institutes across Providence when the pandemic hit and everybody's jobs changed then. And then at that point in time, I went 100% into the incident command roles, and the opportunity in Seaside opened up. I was actually asked to go out there on an interim basis, not thinking that this would be my career path, and I loved it.
I say, if you're on the interim basis, that was a long interim.
It was about 4 months of interim, okay. But I think about 2 weeks into it, I said, "This is what I love to do."
Why did you latch on to it? I mean, that's interesting. That you know, it was something where you just kind of. You were basically asked to fill in for a little while, and then all of a sudden you decide, hold it, I like this.
Yeah, well, so many of my earlier roles were in a regional department. It was removed from mm-hmm. The activity and the real operations of a hospital, and mm-hmm. so I didn't have the opportunity to make the connections that I can make today.
So you mentioned on a listening tour. I mean, just to know, what are people telling you their feelings about Providence Hood River right now?
Well, one thing that I absolutely love to hear as I'm meeting with caregivers is to hear about the longevity. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has really blown me away to meet 5, 10, 15, 20, 40-year caregivers that have dedicated their careers. And so fun to hear from the caregivers who have said they left Hood River and they came back. Mm-hmm. So what's so important for me is to be sure that I'm focused on our culture and making sure we have a very positive culture and sustaining that for the years to come.
So how do you go about doing that? I mean, I come from the sports world here quite a bit. And whenever I hear the word culture, I do roll my eyes a tad because I go, okay, I know what brings culture in some of the world I've been in. Winning. You win ball games in the culture's grave. You're losing, it never is. I've never been around a losing team that had a good culture. But in the business world, in a certain organization like a hospital, what is a good culture?
A good culture is when everyone cares for each other and about each other and helps one another. Mm-hmm. So, I think that is what's going to be most important is we continue to form strong teams across all of our departments, and we operate as a high-functional team for the safety of our community.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned you mentioned caregivers. I'm going to go maybe when you've talked to government and outside and just the plain old folks out there. And maybe probably service groups, you've probably done that tour or are doing that tour. What do they tell you about Providence? What do they tell you they like, and maybe what they'd like to see different?
Well, I hear just strong reviews about the care that they're receiving. I hear a lot of concern about the cuts that are happening across the board in healthcare, and there's a lot of uncertainty there. And what's really uncomfortable for all of us is there aren't a lot of answers right now, and it's not very clear what the next years are going to look like because funding is being drastically reduced, and it's a very difficult time to be in healthcare.
So for a small community hospital, which Providence Hood River, you know, Providence is a large network of healthcare. I get that. But at the same time, Hood River is a small place. What are the factors right now? I mean, how healthy is Providence Hood River right now as an institution financially?
Financially, we are stable.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I think, in a better position than many other hospitals in the state. We are stable.
Mm-hmm. How does things like the Affordable Care Act subsidies appear they're going to go away, just based on the news this morning? Medicaid cuts you mentioned.
Yeah.
How much is that going to be impacting what Providence can bring in as an in Hood River over the next short term, at least? And what are we looking at here?
Yeah, well, I'm going to sort of take a step up in terms of Providence and Oregon. We don't quite have perfect estimates yet on what we feel like the impact is going to be. Mm-hmm. But the estimates that we've heard across the state for Providence are about $100 million in terms of reduced revenue coming in.
Yeah, we probably should put some context in that.
I know, that's a big number.
Yeah, it sounds like a big number.
It's a big
but
number.
But I also don't, but how much of that a percentage of revenue for Providence takes in over time? Yeah.
Well, I think it's important to really clarify that Providence has been losing money for the last 4+ years since the pandemic. Costs have been escalating far faster than revenues have been keeping up. Mm-hmm. So Providence has been losing money as a system and in Oregon. And so this will be compounding that. As you ask about sort of the focus in 2026 and the Medicaid cuts, one thing that I feel like it's important to raise up is just it is the re-enrollment requirements for Medicaid are onerous. And one thing that is changing next year is that people are going to have to re-enroll 4 times as frequently. And so I think that is one of our concerns.
How often do they re-enroll now?
Every 2 years.
So now you're talking about every 6 months. That isn't less government, by the way. Just that's the first thing I think of.
Thank you for noticing that.
I'm not nearly as concerned about Providence, to be honest, than the people who go there.
But
I understand that.
The challenge then for everyone to really stay on top of that. We really worry that people will be losing their eligibility and not being able to stay on top of that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, affects, are they covered? Are they then seeking health services? Or are they delaying health services and then showing up at the emergency department at a point that is, you know, is something that we would have hoped to catch sooner.
So how is a hospital the brace for this? Because, I mean, I know there have been cutbacks here recently. I don't know to what extent they've affected Hood River, you know, as a whole. We tend to get the information, like, you know, oh, through the system, and we're a tiny fraction of it. I get it. But how do you brace for this? Because goodness knows, I know you already have a situation where, in some cases, you're dealing with uninsured patients. They come in, and you try to help them in some manner. And there's stuff you don't get reimbursed for. I know that. So and then you add $100 million on top of that. How do you brace for this?
Yeah, so I think we're all really looking at, and all of us, I would say, this includes all of my hospital peers across the state, in Providence and outside of Providence, really looking at ensuring that we're providing services that are essential for the community and really looking to see, are we duplicating a service that is in the community that it could be better provided by another organization. So, you know, one example is over the summer, we've closed a physical therapy clinic that's in the Dalles. So we've consolidated all of those services now here locally. We didn't lose any caregivers in that, but we're now being able to operate a bit more efficiently by being in one location. And there are other other options for physical therapy services in the Dalles.
I'll go away from the finances a
little bit.
Thank you. But it's hard not to. I think it's the big. I think it's natural in this community to be concerned whether Providence will be there in 5 years. I mean, just because of the way things are going healthcare wise. I'm not signaling out Providence on this, by the way. You could wonder about Adventist, Columbia Gorge, and the Dalles. You could wonder about Skyline. All of these locations, given what's going on. But what's your vision for Providence Hood River over the next few years?
We need to stay steady. We need to focus on our community. We need to focus on the services that are truly core to what the community needs from us. And we need to be partnering with Skyline, Adventist, I'm talking with Klickitat, and Mid-Columbia. We need to be sure that we are all coming to the table to ensure that we're not duplicating services when it's not really necessary.
In the Gorge, is there any real hole in services right now? I think between, especially Providence and Adventist, I don't detect one. But then again, maybe I haven't been in a position where there's been an issue that might have gone through a crack. Are there holes in what's here right now?
You know, that's such a great question. When there are holes, we try to do our best to be referring into the metro area or bringing in teleservices. We're actively recruiting for rheumatology right now. So that's a space that I know is needed in the community and is a gap in the community. It feels like there can never be enough mental health services for the community. Those continue to be priority areas for us.
Actually, you mentioned, you know, one of the things you do have as an advantage here, you've had a lot of longevity. The people get here and they want to stay here.
Yes.
You know, a lot of businesses in this area have had difficulty with hiring simply because of the cost of housing in the Columbia Gorge. In other places of this problem, it seems just so acute here, and some of it has to do with supply issues. Is that impacting the Providence's ability to bring people in?
I would say yes.
Okay.
I would say yes.
Which would put you in line with everybody else
yep.
around here.
Yeah.
I would imagine in the higher paying roles, the physicians, etc. that probably the location is a real plus, isn't it? I mean,
it's a very desirable place to live.
I'm not detected problems in that area, you know, because people want to be here. If you've got the funds to purchase that house, you can. But the nursing supply, goodness knows we went through the issue with the nurses here a few months ago before your arrival, which you dealt with in the Seaside, I assume.
Right, we did.
You have, you know, there's so many people in a hospital that aren't in that 100, you know, they're in that 80 to 120% AMI that's so difficult to house around here. How is the supply right now for that? I mean, are you in a situation where do you have enough people to meet the demands of those jobs?
Mm-hmm. We're in a stronger position than I would say many of my other counterparts, and I think it is because of the longevity of the caregivers that we've had. The one department where we really have just struggled to fill, and if I can put this as a PSA,
Throw it out.
In our dietary department, it's a phenomenal department, but that is an area where it's very hard to recruit and to retain. And you know, there are many fantastic restaurants in this community, and so I know there's many options out there for people who are in the food service industry, but that has been that is one of our largest challenges.
Really?
Yes.
So what are some of your goals here in the next few years? What do you want to do?
My goal truly is just to maintain the strong momentum. You know, I am taking the helm from a servant leader. Jeannie Vieira had been 10 years as the chief leader at the hospital, born at the hospital, just a beloved leader. So my goal is to, not lose any of the phenomenal momentum. I'm able to really pick up a strong team. And some strong goals going into the years ahead. But the years ahead are going to be, you know, different than, the 10 to 20 years before. We will need to really be efficient. We will really need to be sure we're offering just those core services that our community needs from us.
How much are we going to see more of the, I'll call it telemedicine, which is probably just a really outdated term, but we really started to see it during COVID. But are we going to, given, you know, the financial constraints you just mentioned, are we going to see more of that?
Frankly, I would hope so. Okay. You know, telemedicine is a huge benefit to the community. Now, just yesterday, we were on a call kicking off a new service, which is called Teleinfectious Disease. So that sounds, wow, that sounds sexy.
Or it sounds like I'm going to pick one up, a computer virus.
Right. But what that allows, because one of the really important components of telemedicine is that it allows us to keep patients in our Hood River Hospital and not have to transfer them into Portland for care. Mm-hmm. So this component of teleinfectious disease will allow us to be able to keep patients on an inpatient basis. It allows our hospitalists to be able to consult with a doc that is specialized in infectious disease. Mm-hmm. And that patient then does not have to go into Portland and be an inpatient at Providence Portland or St. Vincent or elsewhere. So it truly is a benefit to the community because in many ways it means that will be able to keep a patient here and they won't have to be transferred into Portland.
So I think, is that something that's just getting established at this point?
That type of service is just getting established now.
Mm-hmm. I know we've had, I think, I want to say, I've talked about it on the show before, but I can't remember. I think heart medicine, there's been those available.
Telestroke.
Okay. That's what I'm thinking of.
Sure, sure. Right. There's many services like that as well.
So I guess I'm a little surprised that wasn't available already.
It was that particular service was not available yet, and you know many of our given some of the transportation challenges sometimes that we have here, given weather events, the ability for even our local providers to be able to do telehealth visits is really important for us to be able to keep our doors or our Wi-Fi lines going when, you know, roads are closed and there's an ice storm and folks can't travel.
Providence Hood River's new chief administrator, Rebecca Copeland, has been with us. Rebecca, thanks for doing this. Nice to meet you. I'm sure we will talk to you again here down the road.
Thank you so very much.
It is 8:53 in the morning. We'll come back, wrap it up for the morning after this.
More fiber and laxatives, eh?
Who are you?
I'm future you.
Future me?
Constipation with belly pain still coming back? Our doctor figured it out. It's irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. And Linzess could help you get ahead of it.
Linzess Linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Choose a fresh fiesta of flavors for the holidays with Casa El Mirador. Their holiday gift cards are on sale now. With every $50 purchase of gift cards, you'll receive a $10 gift card. No matter the amount of each gift card, as long as you purchase a total of $50, you get a $10 bonus card. Give it as a gift or treat yourself to a fabulous meal. Casa El Mirador, a great place to celebrate the holidays. Banquet room available or have them cater to your event. CasaElMirador.com.
It's your business.
It's your word.
Let Rage Graphics and Design help you
get the word out.
It's your logo.
Your advertising.
Your promise to your customers.
At Rage Graphics and Design, we'll
get the word out.
For sign design, three-dimensional carved signs, banners, embroidery.
Choose Rage Graphics and Design.
For trophies and awards.
Rage Graphics and Design.
217 East 3rd Street in the Dalles, or call 296-SIGN.
Be noticed. Be great.
Choose Rage Graphics and Design.
Get the word out.
My Patriot Supply, America's most trusted survival food company, wishes you and yours a very Merry Christmas. As our gift to you, we've got an amazing deal on survival food kits. Buy one, gift two. That's right, for a limited time, when you grab our best-selling four-week emergency food kit, we'll include 2 1-week kits free to hand out as gifts. That's 4 weeks of emergency food for you, and 2 ready-to-give gifts for anyone on your list who's into preparedness. Or anyone who needs a nudge in that direction. But they're only available for a limited time. Grab yours at MyPatriotSupply.com and give the gift of food security this Christmas. With 2,000 calories per day, 16 delicious meal and snack varieties, and up to 25-year shelf life, it's no wonder our 4-week food kit is the best-selling emergency food supply of all time. But the Buy One, Gift Two Christmas special won't last long, so claim yours now at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
And it is now 8:56 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Yes. I am making life hard for our producer, Cameron Eisenberg. I was not behind the mic when the music ended. I shouldn't be that way. I must be far more disciplined, but we do talk about some things afterwards. I get to know these folks over the years. And anyway, what are we doing tomorrow? Here, I got to think about what I'm doing here. I'm looking at something else. Here we go. Tomorrow, Hood River Valley Parks and Recreation District. They did their pool design unveil yesterday. I was not available yesterday evening, so I don't know what they did. Okay, I don't know what they unveiled. But the good news is tomorrow, Mark Hickox and Christy Christopher, I'm sure, will tell me what they unveiled. And then I can react from there and ask questions. So we'll do that. Plus, we're scheduled to talk Clement Gorse Discovery Center tomorrow. Also, Monday, we'll talk Port of Hood River. And we'll talk the Dalles Area Chamber of Commerce. Tuesday, we'll talk Hood River County Schools with Superintendent Bill Newton. And White Salmon Mayor Marla Keeler will be along with us. And Wednesday, we'll talk White Salmon Valley School District with Rich Polkinghorne, superintendent there. I was in White Salmon a couple days ago. I had to go over and I had an appointment. And at the end of the appointment, there's a place down in Bingen that I love to eat. I was getting it to go order, but I had to wait about a half hour after I called it in. So I took a drive around White Salmon because I haven't done that in a while. And, well, I drove by the school areas because, of course, you are very well aware in White Sam, and you'll be voting in February on the bond measure for building a K-12 campus. I not been up the Columbia High School site in quite a while. Boy, that's been built out over the years. I was trying to figure out where they're going to put all the extra stuff they're going to build there if you move K to 5. Rich is going to have to show me. And also, I drove by Whitson Elementary School. I will say, you know, that they have done a fine job of keeping, at least on the outside, Whitson Elementary, you know, still looks nice. It does. I mean, I think they're meaning the "are you maintaining what you have" test. Because I didn't drive by it and go, boy, they got to replace this. Now, maybe if I went inside, I would, you know, see it more. And I'm not doubting their reasons for it. It's just, I'm just observing that it's pretty apparent that they've done pretty well patching things. Boy, I better leave. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to GorgeRadio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.